Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Wonderful to have you here this afternoon. For many children across the country today, it is the first day of summer vacation. Woo-hoo! Of course, my kids are off today for the first day. I heard a very sad child say yesterday they have school through Wednesday this week in my community because they go to a different school, and they were very sad for what the next 4 days were going to bring. School for them and fun for everyone else.
That is emotionally taxing because there's nothing as jubilant as the first day of summer.
I'm sure there are other days throughout the year where they are off and other children are in school, but it doesn't seem to make any difference when summer rolls around.
No, I feel so free. I mean, even just hearing about it, being 29, even hearing about the first day of summer still makes me happy.
Yes.
And I don't even get to benefit from it.
What used to make you happy? What's your favorite summertime kind of memories? As you think about summer fondly as a kid, what did you look forward to doing the most?
Oh, man, that's a great question. One of my favorite things was just playing catch with my dad. Mm. We lived in the country, and so we'd play in the cool of the evening.
Yes.
We'd go across the border into North Dakota and go to this place where there would be a musical every evening, Medora, North Dakota, it was called. And
wow.
They cooked beautiful steaks, and there was a teddy bear there that was life-size that you could hug. It was amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
More specific than you were anticipating. No,
it is. I thought you would say something like sleeping in or riding my bike or something like that.
Those were good, too.
Yes. Well, my favorite summer memories are getting up in the morning, having our breakfast, and then my mom had us in swimming lessons pretty much the whole summer. And so we would get on our bike with our little coupon to be at the pool all afternoon. We'd go ride up there. First of all, we rode our bikes everywhere,
nice.
Which was lovely, and kids don't do that much anymore. We would ride our bikes, hang out at the pool for most of the afternoon, ride our bikes to Tom Thumb, which was like PDQ or Quick Trip or convenience store, to the convenience store and buy a candy bar with our 25 cents. And then we would ride home. And then the day was done.
And that's beautiful, too, because you don't even think about it at the time. But if you are transporting yourself with a bicycle, your activity is swimming. You can eat as many candy bars
as
you want.
It's true. Yes, I can't indulge in that anymore. Now I drive my kids to the pool and sit on the deck. I cannot order any candy bars or malts.
Right.
But yes, just that anything goes, kind of determine your day by whatever the weather brings. And that's what I loved about summer and summer vacation. And I try to give a little bit of that to my kids as well. But summer is also a little bit about structure and having some activities planned. And anyone who's a stay-at-home mom or part-time parent of any sort knows that you have a certain responsibility if you have your kids for a certain amount of time. Either you're paying someone to kind of entertain or create some activities for them, or you do it yourself. And either way, there's just a little bit of pressure because you want to enrich their vocabulary. You want to give them a little bit of intellect. You want to give them some responsibility. And you want to, of course, give them a lot of fun. So it's a lot of pressure for a parent.
That sounds like it. All I was thinking about was
fun,
what I was doing, but my parents were having to think this whole time. It makes me feel kind of bad.
You give them a call a little later today. Thank them for everything that they gave you in the
summer. I will.
Yes.
I will.
Well, fortunately, we have some help on this subject. We have someone who has quite a bit of experience in creating some sanity for summers. In fact, she's raised 4 children of her own and also given us all some ideas on how we can help our children, help connect with our children in the summer. Let me introduce you to my guest for today. We're going to talk about some many ways to connect with your kids in the summer, to give them some things to do, and also keep your sanity as well. Well, my guest today is Kathy Lipp. She is a busy conference and retreat speaker. She's also the author of several books, including The Husband Project, The Cure for the Perfect Life, and the Get Yourself Organized Project. And we're going to talk a little bit about decluttering as well, which is a great project for summer. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's great to be here.
Well,
but I need a little sympathy for us California kids because we don't normally get out till like the 12th or the 14th.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. We're ahead in so many ways, but woefully behind in getting out of school. It's very sad for our kids.
You realize that those of us in the Midwest have little to no sympathy because we have to just wait for the weather to actually be warm enough to get outside, and you have that all year round.
Yeah, sadly, and that's a thank you, because we've got our giant water drought this year. We haven't had rain in 3 years, and the rest of the country has been underwater. It's just, it's a hot mess out here. But, so, like, you know, you think about running through the sprinklers, you could get arrested for that probably in California at this point.
Well, I'm hoping there are still pools.
Yeah, we have to water everything by hand. That's where we're at in San Jose, California. So it's a little bit different than when I was growing up, and we had the sprinklers on practically all day. It was crazy. But, yes, it was so fun hearing you guys reminisce about what you did as kids. I love it.
Well, what was your favorite as kids? Because now you just brought up running through a sprinkler, and that was one of my favorite things as well. And popsicles.
Well, okay, so definitely swimming. I was at the pool all the time, which when you are as pale as I am, was probably not my wisest life choice. I'm sure I'll pay for it later on. But the other thing was, I've always been kind of an entrepreneur, so there was always a lemonade stand going, or I put on those really little ridiculous carnivals for muscular dystrophy, and I think I raised like 75 cents, and then my mom would give me $5, so at least it would look like, you know, at least we paid for the kit that they got to us or something like that. So there was always some kind of business or scheme or fundraising or something like that going on.
Mm. Well, those are fun, too. And my mom was so great about encouraging us to be creative. And you would never say, what do I do? I'm bored. Because would just say, oh, no, no, no. You know, there is a cupboard full of craft activities, whatever you have, go make something. And then we sold things, too, all the time. I mean, we would walk up to doors of our neighbors and say, hello, would you like to buy this plaster piece that I have decoupaged a piece of wrapping paper onto? It's 25 cents.
Well, and your mom was much kinder than my mom, because if I said I was bored, she's like, awesome. There are dishes to be unloaded. Let me teach you about the wonders of laundry. You know, so I know that your mom was probably that way too. You know, it's like you never said the B word, because moms can always come up with something to keep you occupied.
Right. In fact, I have a little list of my own that I keep hidden, but when my children ask, then I always have something on it. So you wrote a great little resource called Summer Sanity, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. And I just loved reading through that, because everything seemed so logical, and it wasn't anything that was difficult to do or created a lot of planning, but just some great ways for you to connect with your kids. Why did you come up with that? Was it moms like me who just said, I don't know, I'm afraid of summer?
Well, you know what? No, I'm afraid of Pinterest. That's my issue, because what I would see, like when my friends and I were talking about, and let's be clear, my kids are older, and I think we lost some of the magic of letting your kids be bored enough to go figure out what to do. And, you know, I'd go onto Pinterest, and there would be these activities for moms that were like, it would take an hour to set up, and your kids would blow through in 3.2 minutes. And I'm thinking, who's coming up with this stuff? That's crazy. Mm. And so what I wanted to do was say, you know what? Your kids can have fun, but you know who else needs to have a little fun during the summer? Mom. Mom needs to have a little bit of fun. So let's not just put this on as a, you know, 10-week entertainment project for our kids, but let's do stuff that the kids will learn and grow from and love, but also that mom can enjoy too, so that we can keep her sanity. So she's, you know, because you don't want to get to the point, you know how much you're looking forward to your kids are looking forward to the end of school. You don't want to be that mom who's like, three more days till they go back, three more days till they go back. You want to enjoy them while you have them.
It's true. In fact, I wrote down a quote from that book. It says, I finally realized that if I wanted to keep up the summer activity schedule, I had to schedule activities that I actually like. Mm-hmm. Instead of creating crafts for my kids to do, I planned experiences for us to share as a family. So what are some of those experiences that you came up with that you could share as a family?
Well, one of the things that I think, you know, we're always waiting for the next kid movie to come out. And, you know, I mean, millions are spent on the latest DVD and things like that. If people still use DVDs, I know they use them in cars, so I know that they're still buying them. But One of the things that we tend to do during the summer is show our kids the kids movies we loved as kids. And so what we've done a couple of times, one, we'll just have movie nights at in our living room, and you know, we'll do a carpet picnic or something like that, and the kids help prepare all that. It's not up to me. You know, you guys all play video games and I'll make dinner, and then when it's time for us to watch the movie, we'll all come together. Oh, no. So somebody is washing the lettuce, or somebody else is making the sandwiches, or we made bread the day before so we can use that to make toasted cheese sandwiches later on that evening. But then we're seeing movies that we liked as a kid, you know, Goonies or, you know, something that was special to us. So my husband and I are enjoying the movie. It's not another insipid, you know, little kids movie, which some of those are wonderful. I mean, I sing Let It Go all the time. But, you know, you want to have something share some of the things that you enjoyed with your kids. The Princess Bride, those kind of movies that you can share as a family.
I just bought The Princess Bride, ironically, because I think that my husband had never seen it, and I thought that was a travesty. I know.
Yes.
And then we were doing the same thing, but with other movies that we had grown up with. But one thing I have found that I will just caution parents of is that PG is not PG.
Yes.
PG is from when we were younger, is really more like PG-13. So before you set your 9-year-old up to watch a PG movie from our childhood, you might want to just check it out one more time on your own.
Okay, I have to tell you the funniest story, because we all have our own filters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when my kids were preteens, my mom and dad went to see a movie, and I said, oh, would it be appropriate for my kids? And she goes, yeah, it was called Frequency. It was, you know, probably around the year 2004. And she said, yeah, I'm trying to think. She goes, yeah, it's this great story about this dad connecting with his son over the time-space continuum. And so I took my kids to see it. Now, fortunately, they were probably around 13 or 14 at the time, and it wasn't too graphic. And my mom said, so what'd you think? I said, yeah, it was great, Mom, except for the serial killer. You know, for some reason, that she's like, oh, but that was such a small part of the story. My mom's a wonderful mom, but, you know, you have to kind of make sure that you are filtering it through your own filter. And look, she wasn't looking at it through the eyes of kids watching it. She was just looking at it through her own eyes. So yes, revisit those movies, because you remember all the fun stuff, but you don't remember all the innuendo and all the other things, you know, that maybe you missed as a kid.
Right. The innuendo is big too. And I found that there are some movies that if they come out on maybe a cable station where they've cut out a lot of the scenes, then it's even a little more safe if you can make it through the commercials.
Exactly. I love it.
So one of the other things that you mentioned in your book that I just loved and reminded me of childhood was to go see a movie outside. That was such a treat when we were growing up. And we just received a list of the 21 outdoor movies in the Twin Cities, which is where I happen to live. And I know our stations go all across the Midwest, so people may have that same kind of list in their own city. But I pulled that out right away and started circling dates and putting them on the calendar, because what a treat.
Yeah, you know, and so, we have a small town near here, Campbell, where every Friday night they show a movie against a giant building. And so you could bring your own picnic basket, bring your own, or you can buy something from somebody local there, and they just encourage you to sit down and watch as a family. But if you don't have that in your town, you can use your own giant wall in your backyard or wherever is convenient for you, or hang a sheet if you can borrow a projector. And so we've done that a few times. And we even have friends who have done what they call, it's called a dive-in movie, where they have, now this is for older kids, but you have a pool, you have somebody watching the pool, let's just be super clear on that, but you can put a movie up on the side of your house, but watch it from your pool, you know, on a flotation device or something like that. And so we've done that a couple of times, and that is a whole lot of fun. You don't want to do a movie like Jaws or something like that, especially with kids. But even as an adult, I don't want to do that.
Jaws, that's another one on my list to show my kids, but I don't know if it's quite time yet.
Yeah, you know what? I'm 47. It's not time for me to see it. I'm just saying.
Well, today I'm talking with author, speaker, Kathy Lipp. She's written just an incredible resource called Summer Sanity, 21 Ways to Connect with Your Kids. We're just coming up with some great ways to give you courage and faith that summer will go well if you just put a little bit of time and effort into making a plan so that the "I am bored" line never comes out of your children's mouths. Well, we're going to catch up with Kathy when we come back on Connecting Faith. And if you have a summer idea you'd like to share, well, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And we'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender, and I have on the show today Kathy Lipp, who's giving us some great ideas to do with your kids or to arrange for a family so that we can do things together and just handle this summer thing together. Well, one of the things that we do in my family, Kathy, and I saw that you also must do this because you have a great product on your site for summer bucket list. And I sit down with my kids, and I draw a bucket, and I am not an artist, so it's really bad, but that doesn't matter. They get Post-its out, and they have to put on their two things they'd like to do at home, and that could be like cleaning, decluttering, something, you know, putting up a basketball hoop, two things that they'd like to do on the road, where would they like to go, two things that they would do on rainy days, and then two things they'd like to do on sunny days. And that way, when we have one of those days with nothing to do, I can look at that list and say, well, today we are going to Water Park of America. It's raining, and that's what we're going to do. And you have something you can download on your website. Tell us a little bit about that and how someone can benefit from that.
Yeah, I've got the summer bucket list. And so these are just a number of different things when you're feeling like, wow, I can't think of anything to do today. We've got a giant list of 100 items. And what I'll do is I will put the link up on my Facebook page. So if you just go to Facebook and you look for Kathy Lipp, K-A-T-H-I-L-I-P-P, you'll find me. And I'm going to put that up there right now so that you guys can have it gets your ideas going, you know, because it's when you've got these two pairs of little eyes staring up at you and saying, what are we going to do today? You mean we're not doing anything? Then you can pull out the summer bucket list, and not everything's going to work for that day, but a lot of them will. So you can, and even if it's, you have to say, okay, we're planning something for tomorrow. Give your kids something to look forward to. It'll be awesome.
Well, or sometimes I'll say, okay, next Wednesday, there's nothing on the calendar. So Sam, Wednesday's your day. Pick the thing that you want to do. You can figure it out, and that's what we're going to do next Wednesday. And it does give them an opportunity to have a little bit of control, and we get to do whatever they want. Usually that's getting a lot of ice cream, but it, somehow ice cream factors into the day somehow. But it does give them an opportunity to make some choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kids have more fun when they get to help plan. So, you know, not everything has to be handed to them on a silver platter. We did a family vacation to Disney World. I'm not saying put that on your summer bucket list, but what I'm saying is half the fun we had there was having our kids help plan, and they even helped pay for part of it. Mm-hmm. Now, our kids are adults, so that's a very different thing. But for your kids to go someplace and have their own money to spend, one, they're going to be way more careful with their money than they ever were with yours. Mm-hmm. And two, they're going to appreciate it more. So let your kids be a part of the planning and paying when possible.
Mm. Well, and one of the other things that you write on your list, which I enjoyed, was that adults should also take some time to plan things for themselves. Now, I am a teacher part-time, and so I have my summer off. And so I look forward to summer almost as much as the children do. And you write that sometimes it's important as well to put some time in there for you to do things in the summer, whether it's gathering with friends, making sure you're spending time with your husband, planning some excellent date nights. You know, talk a little bit about how important it is for parents to also plan for summer.
Well, you know what? I was bad at this last summer. We had such a busy summer that I forgot about it. And as I was preparing to talk with you and focus on the family about the summer bucket list for kids and what we can do and all that kind of stuff, I was like, wow, I need some fun in my life. I've been lacking. So I started working on my summer fun list. And some of it, this is a list just for me. Now, some of these things include my husband, but some of them are all on my own. And so we've done, you know, we've got some big things on there and some little things. This past weekend, we went to the TEDx conference in Portland. You know, that's something I've always wanted to do, was go to a TED conference. And so, you know, the one in Portland, we had frequent flyer miles, and one of my friends was speaking at it. It was a no-brainer. We did that. And what a great way to kick off our summer. And then I put down some little day trips. We live close to Monterey, California, and to San Francisco, so those are places I want to go. I want to have an adventure day with my son, Justin, another one with my daughter, Kimberly, and my husband's planning on doing stuff with each of his kids. We're a blended family. One of the things I want to do this summer, call me crazy, I want to make some cheese. I've got a cheese making book that my brother gave me, and the first time I tried to make mozzarella, it came out the consistency of a baseball. But my daughter loves to cook, and so I want to do this again. I want to give it another try so we can have homemade mozzarella. We're doing a 5K as a family, so that's really exciting to me. And then it's our 10th anniversary, and so we needed to, you know, it's great when you can plan things in advance, but we just, you know, we've been so busy with so many deadlines, we kind of looked at each other and said, you know, perhaps we should do something for our 10th anniversary. And we just got on to Vacations to Go, and we booked an Alaskan cruise, I think about 3 weeks ago, that we're taking in 2 weeks. We got a great deal because it was kind of last minute. And, I mean, that's a big thing. I get that. But don't put off the big things because you feel like it's too late. You may have just, you know, hacked the system and gotten a cheap flight. Right now, I hate to say this on air, because Southwest, you can't even get onto their site right now because so many people are booking deals. But this is the last day of a great sale to, you know, go on there and see what you can do to get out of town, and do it just with you and your spouse. You'll have a great time.
Mm. Well, that is true, that just planning something to do so that you're happy and not feel so overwhelmed that you're entertaining little people all summer. But we need to be entertained as well, just so we have the energy to entertain the little people.
Yeah, and I know, you know, if there are some grandparents listening out there, man, you could be doubly blessed, because I think one of the best gifts you can give your grandkids is your presence. I mean, you know, I'm so grateful that my kids grew up near their grandparents. And I have several friends who are of that grandparent age who have Camp Grandma, you know, and it's a week where they bring all the grandkids in, and maybe you have too many to do that. But, man, think of how you could bless your kids and your in-laws, your son-in-law or daughter-in-law, by taking those kids for several days so that they can have some time to themselves as well. You're going to be building into their marriage and building into your grandkids' lives.
Well, I'll just take this time right now to say thank you to my parents, because they've been doing that for our kids, and they call it Cousins Camp. So all the cousins get to come up to their cabin for the weekend, and I'm telling you what, they look forward to it, both my parents and my kids, every single year. So thanks so much, Mom and Dad, for doing that. We'll be back with more great ideas for summer with Kathy Lipp. Connecting Faith, thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Bender, and today we're talking about summer. Children are screaming all over, I am free, and having fun on this very first day. We're talking about our memories of that first day to have of summer vacation. And it's funny, a lot of my friends will say, I remember summer because I could sleep. I could sleep in all day. That was not allowed at the Bender household. How about for you, Ryan?
Well, it was to an extent.
Okay.
I was a very profound sleeper. But then Dad would come in to the bedroom if it got too extreme, and he would start singing to me.
Oh.
He had this whole song that said, "Come on, get up. The sun's beginning to shine. Come on, get up. You must get up before noon."
Oh, no. It doesn't rhyme. Does he know that?
I remember it so well. No, it didn't rhyme.
Oh, parents are so great. They teach us so many things. Well, today we're talking to a parent, Kathy Lipp, today. She is an author and has just a great sense of humor in her writing, which is why I love to read about what she writes. She wrote a great resource called Summer Sanity, 21 Ways to Connect with Her Kids, but also is featured on Focus on the Family, MOPS International, Crosswalk.com. She writes a lot of resources and also speaks with her husband. And Kathy, one of the things that you wrote about in this latest book is called Clutter Free. And I'm thinking that summer is a great time to declutter our homes, and not only for us, but for our children as well. I mean, that is the time when we pull everything out of their closets. Is summer a great time to figure out how to make things a little less cluttered in our houses?
Well, you know, I always think of our lives in seasons, and I think of really summer as prepping for me, the start of the year. I mean, I haven't been in school in a really long time, but I still think of September as the beginning of the year. And so I think it's great to have summer to kind of clear things out. One, because you're changing seasons, you can get rid of stuff. And two, you know, there isn't as much going on. You know, sometimes when we're in the school year, we're just holding our breath until we can get to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with summer, we have a little bit more space, a little bit more time. And, you know, if you can get some of your clutter under control during the summer, you're going to feel so much better when September comes around.
Well, and that's true. And it could also help avoid what happens every spring in my house, where my children say, "Mom, it's the choir concert night next Tuesday. I need black pants and dress shoes." And of course, they haven't had black pants or dress shoes on since the previous spring. And so they don't fit.
Yes. It's so true. And so, you know, when you know what you have, you know, then you feel less guilty about buying things. You feel less guilty about all the things that come with that. But, you know, when you know for sure, okay, nothing fits, we need to go buy stuff, that feels better than we can't find it, I have no idea, I guess we have to go buy stuff. Yeah, it's a very different feeling in those two purchases.
That is true. So this book, Clutter Free, that you've written, it says, quick and easy steps for simplifying your space. Besides your kids' areas in your house, what are some other areas in our houses that really need to be decluttered so we can enjoy our summer?
Can we say all? I mean, is that overwhelming? But here's what I would issue you to challenge, is to just say, one of the things that we do in this book is we ask you, okay, hold on to your hats, to get rid of 2,000 things in your house, which sounds completely overwhelming until in the first week you can get rid of 500 things. And so it's so easy. It really is. For most of us, I would say 90% of us are clutterers. Now, some of us are closet clutterers, so you have to stand back if they try to open any kind of door in their house. But it's so – between paper, between outgrown clothes, outgrown toys, little parts to things that you no longer know what they go to, you know, sippy cups when your kids are 13, those kind of things. It's easy to get rid of 500 things in the space of a week or two. And I would really challenge you to do that. And so we have a little system where we help kids get things done. We call it the 3-box, 2-bag system. And on our website, we've actually converted those 3 boxes into 3 bags because it's easy for kids to carry these around. But we have a purple bag that's put back, an orange bag that's other rooms, and a green bag that is giveaway. And so you give kids a little section, maybe like the toy box or a shelf, and you say, okay, everything that is out of place on this bookshelf goes into one of these 3 bags, or you have two other bags, a garbage bag and a recycling bag. And so it either is a giveaway if it's something they've outgrown, something they no longer use or love. Other rooms, if you've got a shoe on the bookshelf that goes to other rooms, put back means it belongs in that room, it's just out of place. And so you contain it, but you make it easy. And so for most kids, for the first several times you do this, especially if they're younger, you're going to need to be sitting right next to them. But teach them how to declutter from a young age, because this is one of the best skills you can absolutely give them.
Well, and to teach them, well, if you haven't used it for X amount of time, whatever your time frame is, then
right.
you're not going to use it. Or if you think someone could benefit from it, then we will give it away. If you think that it's junk and something you won at the carnival and it's lost its luster, then throw it away if it's not going to be useful. And it is helpful to have them go through those three questions in their head.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and then, you know, there are another three questions that are super, super easy and very clarifying for kids. Do you love it? If you love it, I mean, like, you absolutely love it, it brings you joy every time you see it, then keep it. But make sure that it's not stuck under the bed. Make sure it's someplace where you can actually see it and enjoy it. If you use it, you know, your backpack, you may not love it, but you use it, then you keep it. Or if you as a parent would have to purchase it again. Maybe your kid feels like, I don't use that, I don't love it, but it's their toothbrush. You know what? You need to keep that, and you would buy it again if it was missing. So do you love it? Do you use it? Would you buy it again? Those are three very clarifying questions.
How about when we move into that area that I know was a part of my life growing up, and that's chores. That's why my mom did not let me sleep in, because there were things to do in the morning before I could go have my fun. How do we set ourselves and our kids up for success when it comes to chores and helping them understand responsibility so that they will then leave our house and then be responsible and capable young people?
Right. And, you know, one thing I want to give some parents some freedom on is people say, I want to have a no-nag system for doing chores. I don't know if that's possible with some kids. I think with some kids, they just have that natural sense of responsibility. If they took the StrengthFinders test, responsibility would be their number one strength. And then there are kids where, like, responsibility, why would I want to do that? So sometimes kids need to be reminded and they need to have systems set up. But I know one of the things that we did is we had a certain number of chores that had to be done in the morning. We had a couple that needed to be done in the afternoon and then some before bed. And nothing could happen until those things were happening. So no electronics could go on. You didn't get to read. You didn't get to go back to your room. There were just things that had to be done. And, you know, we want to teach our kids that, you know, this is how you operate as part of a family. And so, you know, I think we set ourselves up for failure when we're saying, I'm going to prepare all the crafts and then the kids are going to come and enjoy them. No, kids get to help with that kind of stuff. I'm going to prepare the entire dinner and I'm going to set the table and then everybody will enjoy it and, you know, rise up and call me blessed. No, that's not how it works. Your kids appreciate it more if they've worked on it. And so know that you are building that into them. Your kids appreciate their home more when they've spent time cleaning it. They, you know, they tend to make less messes. They are more responsible with those things. Teach them care and responsibility from an early age. And if they're teenagers, though, it's not too late. Just say, hey, you know what? I messed up. We didn't do this right, but we're going to correct that now. So here are the chores you're going to need to do. And they can be tied to money or not. That depends on your family. But I think there are some chores that just have to be done because you're a part of a group living in a home.
That is a great way to explain it. And when I look at when I think about the things that I was charged to do before I was able to go out and have some fun, those things were, you know, cleaning up my own space, helping
right.
with one space in the house. And that was different, you know, and depending on either child, and to practice my instruments. And so those things
yeah.
were essential. And then the day was mine. And
yeah.
and then it was wonderful, but those things were important to do. And I tend to do that even now as an adult, that once I've worked out, I've done my Bible study, I've made my bed, then I can go out and do whatever it is that I'd like to do. Otherwise, those things hang over my head throughout the day.
They're like little gnats diving down on you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so when you could do it with a clear conscience, it makes it so much more enjoyable.
Mm. Well, talking to Kathy Lipp today about her, about several things, but among one of them is her book, Clutter Free, Quick and Easy Steps to Simplifying Your Space. Do you have a great way to declutter or a practice you put into shape every summer? We'd love to hear about that. And also, I have a couple of Kathy's books to give away. So if you are looking to do some decluttering of your own, you can give us a call at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And we'd love to hear from you. you here from you here, or you can submit a question online at myfaithradio.com. You can go to the Connecting Faith show page and submit a question that way, or a comment, something that's worked for you and your family. We're all about sharing ideas here of a way to keep all of our summers very sane and to have a lot of fun as well. We'll be right back with Kathy Lipp. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today, this first day of summer vacation for many children across the country, and especially here in the Midwest. I know a lot of children are off today enjoying that summer vacation. We have 3 months of it, folks, so there's a lot of activities that we can cram in. Or Kathy Lipp joins us today, and she says that it's important to also plan some space into your calendar. Is that true?
Yes. You know, I think that when we have a little bit of just freedom and free time, it, you know, we can really, really enjoy the times that are more packed, but we need to have some space in there just to make sure that, you know, we can really, we have some downtime. I think that that's so important, and I think it's something that our society misses on a regular basis.
Well, and downtime is important also for our spiritual life. It's a time that we can reflect on our family and all the opportunities that we have. I mean, what a blessing that we have. I feel that way all the time when we're outside here, and we are very fortunate to live on a lake. And I just sit out in the morning and just say, God, I'm just so grateful that this is where we get to be and experience in the summer. I just love summer in the Midwest. I'm sure it's the same in California, that summertime is just wonderful.
Well, and you know, I think you bring up a really good point, because a lot of us have really missed the gift of Sabbath in our lives. And I think summer is a good time to practice that. You know, if you don't have a day that is unscheduled, that is committed to, you know, really spending with time and with God, summer is a time to try working on really integrating that into your life, because when we can you know, be practical with our faith, but also to really receive the gift that has been given to us in a day that is supposed to be left open and just for connecting with God and with others. We don't want to miss that, and we want to teach our kids to appreciate it as well.
And another way we can do that as a family is just by being out, of course, in nature and seeing all that God has created. And you write that just finding some adventures in your own community is a great way to have fun and also to just acknowledge God's creation. What are some great tips for finding adventures in your community?
Well, I think every community has something to offer. You know, we live in Northern California. I feel like we're a little spoiled, but I think like many people feel the same way about the communities that they're in. And so one of the great things to do is to go onto Facebook and say, hey, what would you guys say is the thing that I can't miss with my kids this summer? Ask parents who have kids a little bit older than you and say, where can we go? What can we do? What are the best parks? What are the best dog parks? Where are the best hiking trails? Where do I need to go? And come up with your own little summer bucket list of what you want to do right there in your community.
And most communities do have a wonderful list. We have an Explorer magazine here. It looks like a newspaper, and it shows all the events that are happening in communities all across the state. I'm sure many states have that same kind of thing. And it does give you an idea, oh, on that weekend we could go to the Berry Festival, or on this weekend we could pick strawberries. I mean, there's a lot of different ideas that can come through. I'm sure various websites for your community would help as well.
You know, and another thing is, especially if you're on a budget, summer is a great time to really, you know, concentrate on, can we pack our own lunch to take to that event? Where can we find free things to do that are outdoors, or maybe indoors if it's getting super hot? But, you know, really challenge yourselves. How can we eat primarily from food at home to save money? And we're teaching our kids good life skills, too, because, you know, we want to teach our kids that when they leave the house, they're going to have to do some things things to make their finances work. So many kids think that they're going to go from their parents' lifestyle and be able to maintain that when they leave the house. And we need to teach them how to be broke in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. And that's that. As I think about those years of being broke, that was how I learned how to manage money and the things that I needed versus the things that I wanted. And you're right. You don't really see that as kids as much because you don't think about it.
Well, we want to teach our kids to be creative, that you can have an amazing life, and money doesn't determine what you get to do with that life. You know, it may limit some of the choices of how you spend your time, but it doesn't cost money to connect with friends. Eating at home is just as much fun as eating at a restaurant, especially when we have friends bring their favorite dishes over. And, you know, like one of the things that we did with our kids when they were younger, we had a book club. And so we would all either meet at a coffee shop or sometimes one of them, I would lead the book club, but one of the moms who loved to bake, she would bring over all the treats for us. And I would just put on hot chocolate. And man, those are some of my best memories with my kids when they were younger, discussing, you know, books that were age appropriate for them, but also gathering around with their friends and talking about it afterwards. And it didn't have to cost us a dime.
Mm, that is a great idea. Well, we have a listener who wrote in a question when we were talking a little bit about decluttering and organizing, Kathy. She says, getting started is sometimes the hardest part. What is your advice on how you can just get started organizing?
Oh, I 100% agree. I would say challenge yourself to get rid of X number of items and get your kids on board as well. So say, you know, we're going to get rid of 100 things today. When you approach your cupboards like that, not like what do we get to keep, but what are we going to give away? What are we going to bless somebody else with? So start some small goals. And then if you go onto my website at KathyLipp.com, you can go over there and get started or look for our page on Facebook. It's called Clutter Free. And you'll get tons of encouragement, lots of before and after pictures, lots of great resources to help you start decluttering.
And the important thing is to start, right?
It absolutely is. And you know what? It's a little addicting once you get started. It's kind of awesome when you see, you know, I love a half-empty drawer because, one, it makes laundry so much easier. Why, you know, what's the hard part of laundry? It's not washing. It's not drying. It's not folding. It's putting away. Mm-hmm. And that's because our drawers are so stuffed. And so if you can have your drawers at half mass, man, you are going to be, you're going to enjoy that laundry experience so much more. And so once you start to do it, you're going to enjoy it more and more. You're going to see the results and you're not going to want to stop. You're going to keep things from coming into your house because you don't want to clutter it up.
Mm. That's the other thing I remember about just starting out and not having very much money is that there was a time to do laundry. It was when I had no socks or clean clothes left and my drawers were empty. Yeah. And I thought, okay, well, time to do some laundry.
We're going to find some quarters right now. Yep.
That's true. One of the other things you wrote about I thought was pretty fascinating was you were just talking about food and crafts and that we do spend so much time kind of preparing for how we want our children to participate in crafts or foods. But you say, hey, let's get them started in the preparation as well so they understand what it means to put together a project, whether that's food or a craft project, and then see it through.
Absolutely. And I think cooking is a great way of doing that. You know, for so many kids, food just magically appears on their table every single day. And we need to get to the point where we can tell them, one, it's so fun to figure out where your food comes from. And so to go visit a farm, I know that you live, you know, near a lot of great farms in your area. There's so many things that are there to educate not just kids, but adults about where their food comes from. And so go to farmers markets. In fact, one of our favorite things to do is to eat lunch at a farmer's market. You know, you grab an apple here and you grab the great loaf of French bread over here and the artisanal cheeses over here, and you can just sit there and have your own picnic lunch. But get your kids to understand what goes into creating this food. And so, and then help let them be a part of preparing food for your family. And kids have such pride when they've baked cookies or, you know, they've stirred the pasta sauce, whatever it is, whatever their age and level of appropriateness, we love that. And so, you know, really celebrate when your kids are helping to participate in a real way.
So there are, and it is a little less rushed in the summer. At least it should be. It isn't always with all of the activities that we plan, but right. It does seem a little less rushed where it can take an hour to get dinner ready, and that's okay, versus sometimes during the year where, oh, we have 20 minutes to eat and get out the house.
Yeah.
And so it does make for more opportunity to have those kids in the kitchen.
Yes. And, you know, and plus eating outside is an event. And so you can do that more and more during the summer months. So, you know, switch it up. Sometimes we would do things on our back patio. Sometimes we would do things on our front porch, you know. And so we could have a little, you know, we could have our meal out there and, you know, talk to our neighbors while we're doing it. You know, do it while you're watching a movie. Just mix it up. And, you know, the location isn't what makes it special. It's the people. But you can have a great meal with the rest of your family anywhere.
Well, and one more thing. We have just a little bit of time left, but of course, summer is also a great time to keep your kids at least a little bit engaged in school so that they don't start in the fall and realize that they've forgotten how to read. One of the great things when I was growing up is my mom would take us to the library, and there was always like a little adventure, almost like a Candyland map, where you would read so many books and then you'd get a reward. Read so many books and get a reward.
Yeah.
And I can't find that where we live, so I just make my own. And they get to pick their rewards ahead of time. So if they read so many chapters or so many books, depending on their age, then we get to see that latest movie, or we get to go to the Water Park of America. And so they kind of participate in that, and there's some reward. And of course, the benefit is that come fall, they still remember how to put two words together.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of bookstores have reading programs, even if your library doesn't. So I would encourage you to check those out as well, because that will, kids love a good program, you know, where they get rewards. And make sure that, you know, talk with other families. Could you be trading books that each other's kids have liked, so you don't have to spend a lot of money? I know I'm an author and I'm betraying my people, but I love it when people share books.
I never thought of it that way. So I do a little event with my girlfriends where I tell them they have to bring their favorite book, but they have to buy a new book for their favorite book. They can't give away their favorite book, but it has to be that same title. And then we all come together and have a party, and then you have to you wrap up your favorite book so you don't know what it is, but each person has to explain why they brought the book that they did. And then as you leave, you take one of those wrapped books, and then you get to enjoy it. Plus, you leave with a list of other books that people have now told you about that you want to read anyway, even if that's not the one you get as a prize. And it's just a great way.
I love that.
And I'm thinking, as you're talking, I could do that with kids as well.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think that would be tremendous. And especially, you know, if you have a little group, I would say you probably want to do one gender at a time, because, you know, some little girls' books are going to be, you know, ballerina, and some little boys' books are going to be worldwide wrestling.
Right.
Or to say, hey, pick a book that anybody can enjoy. But I think that's a great idea. I'd never heard of that. Mm. It's like a white elephant, but it's not a white elephant.
Right.
It's something you really want.
Right. And most of the time, it depends how you explain your book. I mean, you could explain it like, this is the worst book ever, but that's not what it is. People have a passion. If there's a book that has brought them some sort of insight or some great entertainment, they always want to share it. And it just gives us an opportunity to do that. And of course, I love to read, so I love to encourage that in other people as well.
I think that's tremendous. I love that idea.
Well, Kathy, our time is coming to a close, unfortunately, but I feel like we've packed in so many great suggestions that people may want to listen to the show again. If you want to, you can just listen to the podcast. But Kathy, why don't you tell us one more time where people can get to have more information, some of your downloadable products, and find out more about what you've written?
Yeah, we keep so much stuff on Facebook. So if you could just look for Kathy Lipp, KathiLipp, over there, and we will get you set up. I put a couple of links up that we talked about during the show today.
Well, and I will put a link to that website and to your Facebook page as well on our website. So if you've listened today, I just want to thank you, Kathy, for sharing all your insight with us. And hopefully everyone will have a great summer because of it. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thanks so much.
And thanks for listening today. I pray that your summer is a good one, that the weather cooperates, of course, here in the Midwest, but most of all, that you find ways to connect with your kids, to connect with your spouse, and to connect with God as well. Have a wonderful afternoon, and thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.